I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pot of thunder and rock and roll, and we're shaking things up today. We're always shaking things up. We're always keeping you guessing. We got two lunatics from the History Channel show, Kings of Pain. These guys are great guests, Adam Thorne and Rob Oliva, the caveman. And wait till you hear what these two guys did in the seriously crazy reality TV world. It's already nuts as it is. These guys are the kings. The premise of the series is Adam and Rob get bit and stung by some of the most dangerous animals, reptiles, and insects in the world in order to create a complex pain index. They rate the stings and the intensity and the duration, the damage. They'll explain all that coming up. They both were bit and stung by the same creatures. You'll find out how determined they were, who was decided to go first each time, and why being second wasn't always a good thing. They literally traveled across the world from Bolivia to Bali to Mexico to find some of the craziest and deadliest creatures on the planet. And we break down the experiences today involving Asian centipedes, tarantula hawks, tarantulas, wasps, piranhas, harvester ants, bullet ants, rove beetles, reticulated pythons, so many other things that'll make you want to sleep with the lights on tonight and watch what that little creepy thing is under your bed. They share some of the stuff that happened off camera, some things they filmed that didn't make the show, and which bites and stings they're still feeling the effects from today. The whole thing is creepy. These guys are nuts, like I said, and they're great guys. You're going to want to binge watch season one of Kings of Pain after you listen to this. I caught it on Hulu. You're probably going to need a laugh as well to get some of those images out of your head. This is what I suggest. When you finish this episode, then you binge watch Kings of Pain. Yeah, you finish this episode first, then you binge watch Kings of Pain. And then tomorrow night, Thursday, April 1st, you watch the Winnipeggers live on Facebook Live or my YouTube channel. It's the April Fool Improv Invitational. Dave Ribo and I are going live. We're going to do improv comedy for you. We promise more ridiculous stupidity. So grab a drink and come have a laugh with the Winnipeggers live tomorrow night, April 1st, 8:30 Eastern on my Facebook page and YouTube channel. It's going to be a blast. And of course, if you can't watch it live, you can always watch it after. But if you do watch it live, you can participate in the improv comedy. We'll take suggestions from you, and it's just going to be a blast. All right, get ready to get creeped out and grossed out in the best slash worst way possible. It's the Kings of Pain, Adam Thorne and Rob Oliva, starting now on Talk is Jericho. So it's funny, in the world of social media, you get in contact with different people that you normally wouldn't get in contact with. It's one of the cool things about having a pandemic in 2021 is at least there's a lot of communication that wouldn't be there. And Adam Thorne and Rob Oliva is here as well. Rob Oliva. How did we get in contact, Adam? Was it through Instagram?
Yeah, Instagram. It was, just random message. I'm like,
randomly following each other or something, right?
Yeah. I think I must have commented on something and it might have caught your eye.
That opened the world of Kings of Pain to me. I had never heard of the show. And when you commented or whatever, we started talking, I went back and watched it. And this, honestly, is the f-ing craziest show I've ever seen. And you two guys, I thought that I was tough and that I was a little bit off my rocker. But you guys are the most off the rocker guys I've ever met in my life. I mean, what a show this is. And for people who haven't seen it, the concept of the show is that Rob and Adam travel the world to find different insects, animals, and creatures to bite them. And then they rate the bites on a pain scale. So just to jump right in, how did this show ever come to be? And how did you guys have the qualifications to do this?
Oh, I don't think you need to be that qualified to get bitten and stung by shit. But it was a real weird way I got into it, wasn't it, Rob? It was like...
Yeah, you had no idea.
I wasn't even... Well, yeah, I had no idea. They flew me to LA for a day from Perth, which is like 2 days worth of travel, and for the chemistry test. And it wasn't until after the chemistry test I was like, oh, what's the show actually about again? And they're like, oh, you're getting bitten and stung by... the world's most painful animals. I'm like, oh, all right. I thought it was just going to be a, you know, a typical wildlife show, but no, there was a twist to it.
Was this kind of your concept, Rob, or how did you get involved with it?
In a bizarre way, this has been my concept and a lot of other guys' concepts for the last decade, and no network has basically had the balls to do it because it's dangerous. But for Kings of Pain, I had zero to do with. They reached out to me. I was working on a much more benign show with history. They wanted to do like a wildlife mystery type show. Mm-hmm. And then one day they're like, how do you feel about getting bit? And I had done, I had shot a pilot 10 years before with Animal Planet. And I probably can't say too much because it never aired. But basically, I went to the eye doctor and two guys went to the hospital. Ooh. And they nixed that right away. So
that's why it never aired.
It never aired. And I'm kind of glad it didn't, because I was about 28 or 29 at the time. And I would have done anything they would have told me, just being a young, dumb guy. They were talking about that Candiru fish. It's a little tiny catfish that swims up your manhood.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't have done that one. They brought it up and I was like, nah, they're like, what if we got you a Porsche? I'm like, am I going to pick up a girl in a date, you know, take her on a date in this nice Porsche, but my penis is broken from a catfish? I mean, no.
Just admit it. The fish wouldn't have even touched the sides, Rob.
Thank you. I have a lot more confidence than I do, Adam.
I had that once and it couldn't get in. I don't know what that means.
Well, I actually wasn't even meant to do the show, wasn't I? Because I wasn't the original co-host. Like, it came between me and another guy, and the network, I think, felt that Rob and I kind of looked too similar. We got short hair and facial hair. And so I didn't get it. I didn't get the show. And then I was seeing on Rob's Instagram, they're in Bolivia filming and it looks so cool. I'm like, damn. But I was having these reoccurring dreams that I was going to do the show. I was like, for some reason, I got this feeling. And then it turns out the other dude got bitten by something and nearly died. And then I got an email. Oh, you still want to do that show? Yeah, right. They didn't tell me what happened until I got there, of course. But yeah.
That must have been very early on in the process then.
About 2 days in, I think, in the shooting. Yeah. So
what was it that he got bit by? Because you guys get, and we'll get into, you guys get bit by everything and still kind of keep on kicking.
Yeah. Basically, he was bitten by what we would consider a non-venomous snake, but has trace amounts of venom. And gotcha. He was allergic to that because of his previous snake bites. So the thing bit me. I chucked it over to him and said, you know, it might be rear fanged, but, you know, it's not a big deal. Completely forgetting his allergy. And then, long story short, he was dead practically on the riverbank within minutes. The amount of epinephrine they used to bring him back was a lot more than anyone who has allergies carries on them. So
it's like 30 EpiPens worth of
something. It was something ridiculous.
It?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because we didn't know nowhere. Yeah. So if I want public message, if you carry EpiPens, double or triple it after what I've seen, it doesn't last long. It lasts about 2 minutes per EpiPen.
And an EpiPen is what you would use, like, if you get stung by a bee or something and you're allergic, right? For, like, allergic reactions to that.
Exactly. And just to the severity of his allergy and the remote location, it required, like Adam said, some ridiculous amount. It was at least 10. At least 10. And like, they were teetering on giving him too much and stopping his heart, so.
So what is your vocation, like, by trade? Like, what did you take in school or whatever?
The thing with animals, like the most people that experts in their field actually have no qualifications. They just get out there at a young age and do it.
Just do it,
which
right.
is, yeah, Caveman and I was sort of in that boat, but I went to uni and did wildlife biology as well. Obviously, I didn't get a job as a wildlife biologist, but I kind of did. I was doing like working fauna surveys out in remote locations and stuff like that. And then just went out and started making my own wildlife documentaries, and then production companies sort of got notice of it. And
that was it.
Here I am.
how about you, Caveman?
Yeah, I never thought it would take this route. I'm not a biologist. I'm not a professional in most traditional ways. If you've ever had a fishing buddy that has just been absolutely obsessed with fishing, you probably know someone like that. They work just to fish. I'm kind of like that with what's called herping, which is looking for reptiles and amphibians.
Like
all of my money and free time just goes to that. And someone called me one day and said, do you want to audition for the show? We travel, we put you in this plastic box and let like bears and lions approach and see what happens. And I'm like, yeah, I'm down for that. But I was so nervous. I went up there and they're like, just talk about tigers. And I'm like, tigers have stripes.
Right.
Needless to say, I did not get that show. But they emailed me a few days later, like, hey, do you know anyone crazy enough to get bitten by some non-venomous snakes on camera, like high-speed camera? And I was like, I can do this. I'm that stupid, but I did it. And I don't know how Kings of Pain didn't know I did that. Or I also did a Ripley's Believe It or Not, which is a TV show now. And I got stung by a tarantula hawk on that. But somehow Kings of Pain randomly realized I was dumb enough to do another one. So that's kind of how I got into this. I do work animal handling for a TV show sometimes. And so they need a snake on set, I'll come wrangle it. And,
gotcha.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So how does this journey start then? So you guys both get cast. You've never met each other. You have the chemistry test. And now, you know, you're thrown out into the wilderness to go find some of these creatures. And I'm just going to read some of them off and we can discuss them in specifics just so people know kind of, or these are not just your typical snakes. And it's executioner wasp, warrior wasp, like you mentioned, bird-eating tarantula, scorpions, harvester ants, lizards, scorpion fish, rove beetles, giant Asian centipedes, reticulated pythons. That was a tough episode for you guys, which we'll talk about. But so where did you start? What was kind of the first, did you go in order of the pain index? And first of all, take this back. Describe what the pain index is and who kind of came up with this.
Well, it was originally based off Justin Schmidt, who is an entomologist. And the Schmidt pain index, it's a pretty well-known pain index, but it's basically just ants, wasps, and bees that are really on his pain scale. So, you know, History Channel, and we thought, let's chuck some other crazy stuff on there. Let's extend it, you know, into vertebrates, into marine animals, you know, you name it, spiders. So our first trip was Bolivia, right?
Yeah.
And then, but Rob had already been in Bolivia for a while, and I got like 2 weeks notice that I was doing the show. So I was like having to scramble to get everything together. So each trip we did was 2 episodes. So we did right. 2 episodes in Bolivia and Indonesia, Mexico. What else was there?
South Africa.
Yeah. Africa, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And the, like we try and make it a bit more intricate as well in the pain index, instead of doing like a 1 to 4, which what Justin Schmidt did, you add more numbers in there, it becomes a bit more accurate. So we did intensity, duration, and damage, and 10 points for each one, ultimately getting to a 30. And the closer you get to 30, the more shit it is. and we got pretty damn close.
I think if you had 30, you might be dead.
I think 30 is death. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we got as close as you want to get to the 30 point mark.
Maybe a step closer.
Yeah.
Right. Because it shows as well. Because I've done quite a few reality shows as well, and a couple of them where we went, you know, searching for the lost gold of Billy the Kid, and we went looking for, you know, New Orleans swamp monsters and that sort of thing. So the swamp monster one was very similar to what you guys were doing, paddling at night and going through kind of the underbrush and underbelly in a lot of ways. So you have to actually capture these specimens first. Now, that could take weeks. I mean, is it something where somebody kind of puts them in the area, or are you just completely going out into the wild and hoping for the best? Or did it take longer than you thought certain times to find these things?
Yeah, well, we had some failures. So we had to switch species even last minute. Yeah, because we couldn't find what we were looking for. Yeah, we didn't want to do captive animals just because maybe the venom might be compromised, or it could be more potent because they're getting fed regularly. But we wanted a wild animal. Like, we were looking for the Bolivian blue leg bird eater tarantula. We couldn't find that. There were some other ones, I'm sure. Huge pressure, because you can travel to these places and spend every day out in the bush and not find anything. Especially in Bolivia, the Amazon is shockingly difficult to find animals. Shockingly.
Really?
Our biologist said, yeah. Do you remember our biologist said that one of the reasons it took 500 years or some ridiculous amount of time for the Spanish to cross the Amazon was because the density of food was so low.
Yeah, there's like a massive amount of species, but just not a large amount of those individual species. So there's massive diversity, but not a lot of the, you know, actual animals there. So you can find
low density.
Low density. Yeah. So a lot of the animals, we did have people on standby in case we couldn't catch one, but it was pretty crazy because we were getting ready to go, all right, let's get the ones that were pre-caught. But the amount of times we actually found them while we were in that transition was ridiculous. Like, wait, there's one right here. It was pretty damn cool. But I think the hardest was the tarantula hawks because we would catch quite a few of them because I was really bad at picking them up. I'd let them go. So we would go through like 20 of them because, like, I was smoking at the time. So, like, if I didn't have a cigarette for, like, you know, 5 minutes, I'm like all shaky and stuff like that. So I was just letting them go left, right. And they're flying like right into the crew as well. And they're like the size of like budgerigars, like parakeets. So the crew were pretty pissed off.
Yeah. And these are spiders, by the way. The tarantula hawks are not a certain type of bird. A tarantula hawk is a spider that probably eats birds.
Well, no, it's a wasp that eats spiders.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah, even more horrific. Yeah, they catch tarantulas and they lay an egg on the tarantula. Then the egg hatches and the baby eats its way out from while the tarantula is paralyzed and still alive.
It's so disgusting, like just all that stuff, man. Like, it's fucking hell. So what was the hardest thing to catch? Like, once you found one of these, to actually get it.
The Nile monitor. Well, actually, we hadn't seen one, but the Nile monitor was.
Oh, Lord.
Did you get a chance to watch the episode where we are on a river in Africa and the hippos come after us?
Yeah. Which, by the way, are absolutely murderers from what I've read.
Oh, yeah.
Hippos and rhinos are killers, right?
Thank God Adam was driving, because I've crashed every new vehicle that I've ever gotten. And he had 45 minutes to learn how to drive this aluminum boat.
Yeah,
with like the motor on it was spectacular, but if you just tapped the gas too hard, the thing would have flipped over.
Yeah, it was like, so the way they set up the boat is at night, they want to be able to see our faces. So they set up lights that are shining into our face so the cameras on the other boat can see us. But that means I can't see dick when I'm looking out into the darkness. I can't see anything because I've got this light blinding on me. So all I can see is where like Rob's shining his flashlight, which, you know, when there's hippos hitting you, it's like all over the place. So like,
yeah. And hippos are literally like murderers in the wild.
100% in a river, not far from where we were. Oh, they kill what, 500 people a year in Africa?
Yeah. Roughly. Yeah. More than any other mammal. Yeah.
Yeah. And we had seen one during the day while we were out in the boat, and it was fine. But night came and they just everywhere. Turned feral.
They flipped the switch. Yeah, they flip a switch right after dark for whatever reason. And it wasn't like they were just, you know, sort of haphazard. They would see us from a distance. You would see them come up. And they don't swim. They're too heavy. So they just run along the bottom. And so you see this like trail of bubbles coming towards your boat. And then there's nothing you can really do about it. This river was what? 30 yards across? You know, 30 meters across? Yeah.
It wasn't even that. Yeah.
That must have been terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, the boat we were in, that the hippos could have just flipped it like it was a aluminum can, you know, like it was nothing. And we, Rob had leaned over the side of the boat and like grabbed a baby Nile crocodile. And we're doing a segment on that, which didn't make it to the final cut. And just as like we're releasing this little baby crocodile, I'm sort of putting it in reverse and then, boom, back of the boat just lifts up. I'm like, have I hit a tree or something? I'm like, nah, it did happen again. I'm like, I turned around and there's a hippo head's like right behind me.
Right behind him, not even a foot behind him. So the driver's part of the boat was right at the back of the boat.
Yeah,
you see this giant head come up behind him, like,
oh my god,
The last one, because funny story, but it pissed me off so much. We're sort of after like the first couple of bumps by the hippos, we're sort of cruising down into the darkness, and the camera boat's to our left, and we see a bunch of hippos in front of us. And I'm yelling out to the camera boat, I'm like, what do I do? Like, do I keep going? What do I do? Because there's a guide guy that's driving their boat, and next minute they don't say anything to me, they just turn around and piss off. They just, I'm like, are you serious? We're just sitting here. Then I turn around and then whack, like the last one was a big one. That's when I turned around and saw its like mouth like right at my ass. I was like, shit. I was pretty pissed off when it got off that boat. I wasn't happy.
I haven't seen them that mad. Hey, did you think that the hippos, I mean, this sounds kind of crazy, but almost like they were coordinated at the end to where they came at us from different directions? It probably wasn't coordinated, but we had nowhere to go because there's two of them right at the end and they kind of sandwiched us.
I'm sure it was. You know, we went to the Calgary Zoo a few years ago and they have hippos there. And sometimes they said, don't get within like this 20 yard, because sometimes they would just turn their ass towards the people and just spray shit over, like shit over people. So they're very smart when it comes to that. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they did flank you.
They're actually like very smart. Like people think they're just big dumb animals, but no, they're pretty damn smart, that's for sure. And they're like, and you're not safe on land either. Like they come onto land like to sleep and everything. So
did they just end up leaving you alone? Did you out race them?
No, we got back to land and jumped off and we were like, nah, we got to find another way to catch this Nile monitor because this is
yeah, we left camera gear and lights and all that on the boat. We didn't give a damn about it at that point. some poor production assistant had to go back down there and pull it all off. I think the guys, one of the guys had a pistol on him, but I think that was just
he goes, Chris. I'm like, what's that for? Is that for the hippos? And he's like, oh yeah, but it would just piss him off even more. Awesome. Like thanks.
A dart at him or something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let's start talking about when you actually start getting bit by these creatures. Like, once again, I think the whole concept of the show, it's very brave in concept. And when you're out there, like you said, capturing it and catching it and bringing it back. But then the next day you have to sit there and wait for it to bite you. That must be like waiting for the executioner's blade to fall if you're in the guillotine.
100%.
And I think also too, because so you guys switched it up, because each guy has to get bit. And sometimes Robert goes first and sometimes Adam goes first. So talk to us a little bit about those stories about when you went, because at first is the unknown, but then watching your brother get it could be even worse at times too, I imagine.
Hell yeah, it was.
Way worse. And keep in mind, like with most of them, we've been researching them for a couple of weeks or more. And so we've just read every horrible story that's ever happened, you know.
Right.
The mild bites don't get into the books and the newspapers. Yeah. We're like reading like, you know, about the most horrible things.
Yeah. We learned pretty quick that going second was definitely worse.
Really?
100%. It was like, oh, far. Because originally it was sort of like whoever's more nervous about the bite or sting goes first. But I don't know. That kind of got lost throughout the show. But it was like you want to go first because you don't want to see what the hell it's just done to your mate and then go, oh, shit, now it's your turn.
It's
my turn. Yeah, especially with the retick. Yeah, that, I mean, and also it was like some of them, like we grew to like bite days because we got the rest of the day off. So it's sort of like, all right, like, and especially if they weren't that bad, like weren't like a prolonged pain. Then they changed that, didn't they? And they started giving us stuff to do afterwards. And
we told them don't do that. It's at their own peril because like sooner or later, one's going to be too bad. And it was the final episode, both the centipede and the reticulated python bite. We were unable to film, not even that day, but even like the next day. After the python bite, they wanted us to they want me to drive like a 1940s Jeep with no power steering, and like my left hand is just wrecked. I mean, I'm talking about ulnar nerve damage at this point. Yeah, and so we had to do extreme measures to make that work.
They had to tow the car and Rob pretend to drive it. And like I tell you what, Chris, this car was like a death trap, man. Like. It was the seat wasn't attached to anything. So like Rob goes around a corner, like a roundabout, and I nearly fly out the car still on the seat. I'm like holding onto the side of the car. It's nearly flung me and the seat straight out of the car. It was a death trap, hey. But yeah, it was just a funny, roundabout like,
in Bali too.
You that roundabout, man. Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and then my driving, Adam should have driven because he's from Australia and they drive on the other side.
Right,
he literally had a play by play. Just turn left, Rob. You know, because I'd be going the wrong way on the street.
Yeah, I was giving way for him and stuff. Going, all right, you can go now. Because it was sort of agreed that Rob would drive the cars, I'll drive the boats.
So I crashed a boat the first day, and then that was the agreement that was made.
See, but that's all the stuff besides even just getting bit. It's like all the adventures you're having just to get in and out of these places. I'm imagining.
Sure, for sure. Because some of the places were like. Oh, a lot of them were super remote, hey? Like in Bolivia, we're basically on an island. It was, what, like a 3 or 4 hour drive just to get to where we got the boats to get to this place. And that was like 3 flights to get to. We had to stop off in, what was it, Peru or something on the way there? It took me like 6 or 7 flights just to get to get there. Like, it was nuts.
And then we had to stay the night up in La Paz, which is, I think, the highest city in the world, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, you're like, altitude sick the moment you land, and they're just giving you coca tea made from like the coca leaves that they make cocaine out of.
That stuff is good, eh?
It's pretty good. And then they gave us a hotel. You feel like you're dying, and then they gave us this, it's like a micro hotel, and you're sleeping practically in a coffin, and it's just horrible.
Yeah, it was. I was out having a smoke for a while, and then I walk in because I was sharing this. It was like a little sauna, like it was tiny. And I opened the door and just like the Rob's body heat and just waft of smell. It was like, oh, fuck. Well, I'll say I didn't actually notice the altitude sickness that much because being a smoker, I'm used to not having that much oxygen in my lungs. So it was like, it wasn't too bad.
Let's go through some of these creatures that you got bit by and just tell us some of your recollections. Because like I said, I watched all the shows and saw all the bites and some of them were insanely crazy, and some of them you guys would even say, oh, that's not so bad. So let's just start with the executioner wasp. Like, these are big insects, big wasps.
Yeah they're huge.
They have a reputation because some other guys have done this thing on the internet and said it was the worst. That's one of the few that Justin Schmidt did not have on his index, was the executioner wasp. And so it got a pretty big reputation. I think it was after Coyote Peterson did a sting.
Right.
We found it, I have to say, with the exception of the Cowkiller, because Adam got a particularly bad Cowkiller, which is actually a wasp, a wingless wasp sting. But it was the wasp. This was a wasp that lasted the longest, because those stings are usually 5 minutes or less. And this hurt for what? Yeah, if that. This is what, 20, 30 minutes of pain?
Yeah, it was about that. It was easily the longest duration for the wasps, because the wasps are great stings, because they really hurt. And then as soon as the sting is out, it's basically the pain's gone. So it's like the perfect sting. There's nothing that hangs around, no pain that lingers. But the execution wasp did. It was kind of like a dull ache, like similar to the bullet ant.
Yeah, the wasp stings, Chris, are almost fun.
Yeah, it's like an adrenaline hit.
I would love to see you guys get in a bar fight with somebody. Oh, really? Here, take the bottle, smash it over my head. See?
Oh, every weekend, mate.
Well, yeah, you're from Perth, man, of course. You know, it's interesting because I never noticed before, you know, and something that's really cool about the show is they get really tight on these creatures biting you. I always thought that it was the kind of the body of the wasp that stung you, like the kind of the point of it. I never realized that a stinger comes out of that to sting you. I don't think a lot of people realize that. Like, this actual needle comes out of the wasp's, like, you know, I don't want to say the wasp ass, but the wasp's hindquarters to freaking stab you guys. That was really interesting. I mean, interesting to watch. I'm sure it wasn't too interesting for you guys to take it.
But. No, some of the length on some of those wasp stingers was nuts. Hey, that velvet ant, man, it come out like an inch and a half, and the thing's tiny. I'm like, what the hell? But it's actually a like modified egg,
right?
Egg depositor. Yeah. That's what the stinger is. So
it's only females. Only females sting.
Yeah,
right? The males can't sting because it's the modified egg layer, like Adam's saying.
No, I was just saying, it's surprising because you can actually see, like, it's almost like a thing you'd see on Transformers. The thing open and then it just comes out,
right?
Right
before
around.
It goes in you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Right in, yeah. Ooh.
Sometimes we're like, well, especially me, too sweaty. I sweat like, man, no tomorrow. But the stinger couldn't get any purchase on my skin. So I'd just be slip sliding around on my skin because I was just so sweaty. So it was pretty hard to get me stung sometimes.
Because what you guys have to do is you hold them by tweezers and then kind of stick it next to your arm and just wait for it to reach out and lash out at you.
Yep. Yeah.
And sometimes that stinger will go everywhere but your skin. You see it looking for you.
You want to talk about
anticipation.
Oh, yeah.
And it was interesting. We don't know anything about insects. We were calling Justin Schmidt, the entomologist, all we could. I'm like a reptile guy. Adam's like a reptile mammal type guy. Is it, you know, and
I am a mammal.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were way outside our comfort zone.
Let's talk about the one that freaked me out, because I think it was you, Rob, that said you hate spiders as well. The Goliath bird-eating tarantula. It's this big, freaking hand-sized tarantula. What was that one like?
That was the worst, like, visually for both of us. But I'm especially for me, because I'm not great with spiders. Like, I don't hate them. I'm not, like, terrified of them. I just... not a fan, you know. And of course we had to get one that was just like a beast. And I was sort of like, you know, when you sort of make your eyes go a bit out of focus and you can't really see properly.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing when I was looking at this, because I didn't want to look at it. But then like the worst was this thing didn't want to bite. It just didn't want to bite. I mean that you have to really try to get bitten by them. And that was the worst. I'm sitting there waiting for it to bite. And I can feel it like touching my arm. And on the end of each of their arms are like little cat claws. So I could feel it like scratching me.
I'm gross.
Like, is that it biting me? Is that it biting me? It's like, nah. You got to move your arm a little bit so it pisses it off and gets defensive. And that's when, the fangs come out. And you can hear them popping over our skin. And Rob's reaction, man, like he screamed louder than I did just because he saw it happening. He screamed louder than I did.
And it wasn't just one bite. The thing was walking its fangs across Adam's arm. Pop, pop, pop. And you just see the skin pooling with every fang.
Man.
Oh
yeah,
But you had a long-term reaction to that, didn't you?
Yeah, super bad. And it only happened like, what, a week or two after the bite? Because I rated it pretty low for damage. Right. But then my arm started doing funny stuff, eh? Like, it sort of got swollen. But to the point where it felt like styrofoam, hey? Like, it would creak when I touched it. And, like, it felt like my whole arm was fractured. So we had to go back and change the damage duration score on that because it had like a real delayed effect on me. So yeah,
I mean that's the thing I was going to ask you guys, because with all the different amounts of poison and venom in your system, and you know, you guys in wrestling we call it selling, you guys sell it, and sometimes you sell it worse and sometimes it lasts, but is there long-term effects to having all of this stuff injected into your bodies?
Well, there's certainly risk of developing allergic, like hypersensitivity to different venoms.
Right.
So even though it's crazy, after being on the show, like a bee or wasp will land on me, I don't care anymore. Like, you know, do your worst. But in reality, it's probably more dangerous than ever. I don't think Adam and I are prone to developing allergies, but it can happen. And no one just has an allergy. It's some type of previous exposure to some type of protein that causes an allergic reaction. So every time you get stung, you're just drastically increasing your chances that you'll have an allergy later. So we actually have to be a little bit careful. We haven't had any issues, but for me, I mean, I don't know if you can see my scar here. For everyone listening, I have like a giant horseshoe shaped scar on the bottom or the inside of my arm. And then on the outside of my arm, I have another horseshoe shape. That's the top jaw and the bottom jaw of a 16-foot reticulated python.
Yeah.
I've basically have permanent disabilities from this. I have had out of a surgery, and I've got more testing coming up very soon, actually, because one of the teeth from the python punctured my ulnar nerve directly. And then on top of that, damaged scar tissue built up and put more pressure on it. I would say I had about 50% function in my hand for what's been a year and a half.
Wow.
Slowly getting better.
Because you saw that as soon as you got bit, that your two fingers were kind of hanging down there after the python, right?
It felt like I had stuck my hand in an electrical outlet immediately. And if you watch the video, normally in that situation, you better do everything to get the python off of you, like whatever you got to do. But I trusted Adam. I trusted we had a couple local snake handlers. I felt like I knew the teeth were in something. I didn't know exactly what. Mm-hmm. I thought it was either a nerve or an artery because I'd never felt that sensation. I was afraid if I struggle at all, it might just sever all the way through. Yeah.
Yeah. I was no help getting that off because my arm was already
wrapped up.
So yeah. I had to take a back seat. And I was like, oh, it killed me to see that because I wish I could have done more getting that off.
Was that a male? Was that a male? I can't remember if we saw it.
Yeah. I wouldn't trust the way they sexed it.
The biologist did it. Yeah.
Yeah, they said it was a male.
If it was a male, I think off the top of my head, the males might have serrated teeth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I've still got one. I've got the tooth that
it was in your flesh, right?
Yeah. I've still got it, and I mean, the serrations would be so tiny, but it's not as serrated as say like a water monitor's teeth, though. But
okay. Well, and that want to jerk away with the serrated tooth in my arm.
That's the one that you rated the highest out of the whole show was the reticulated python, which got to 25.75 on the pain index. And what the guys are describing is when the python, the jaws are just huge. I mean, it almost looks like a Hollywood bad special effect when it opens its jaws. It doesn't even look like it's real, right? But the serrate, there's so many teeth. Like I'm not sure. I can't remember if it was Adam or I think it was Adam's arm. When the doctor said it almost looked like a propeller, like a boat propeller went over your arm and just cut it like in multiple, like it seemed like a dozen places of like this tooth mark all the way across your arm.
Yeah, I've still got like.
You can see it right there. Yeah, plain as day. Yeah, the scar is there. Yeah.
His scar is so much cooler than mine. I'm super cool.
His is an outer scar. You got the inner scar.
Yeah, I got the good scar and no permanent damage.
Yeah.
He's got like a bar conversation piece and surgery.
I'm really pissed off the piranhas didn't scar though. I would have loved a good piranha scar. That would have been awesome.
I noticed too, Robert, like when you guys had that python, this thing was, I mean, like you said, 16 feet and it's across a table. And it's waiting for you. And when you lunged at it with your arm, that's where it came out and got you. Like you didn't have to wait too long, at least the way that they edited it. Like, as soon as you kind of lunged at it, it came and bit right on you.
We had a real hard, like, we were scared that we were like, yeah, how the hell are we going to get this thing to bite us? Because there was a real chance that it wouldn't have been interested in us. So for one, it's like, how are we going to get it to bite us? And two, how are we going to get it to bite us where we want it to bite us?
Right.
So, and we didn't want to do like, we want to do sort of a very fleshy part so it wouldn't cause damage, but it copped Rob right where we didn't want it to get him. But we weren't sure whether to get it by the head and put it on our arms, but that would compromise its power. So it wouldn't be a good bite. You want that force of it striking. And it's a purely a defensive strike. You know, we're pissing it off, waving our arms in front of it. And and obviously the face shields and that, and we were wearing cups as well because it's, you know, it's head height with, oh man, Jesus.
Yeah, it could bite anywhere.
Circumcision via python.
Free vasectomy, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, they don't have any jaw pressure. It's, a lot of people are shocked to hear that. They have practically no jaw pressure. It's just that huge, long, muscular body pulling backwards that gives them you know, the bite power. So if we held it behind the head, it would have been way safer, but it would just been like needle pricks, and it really wouldn't have been a representation of an actual bite in the field. So I wish we had done it the other way, but
yeah.
It could have been worse.
And the idea too is like the doctor Ben is awesome. What a fun looking guy he is. But it seems like the idea is for you guys to get bit and then not to instantly give you medical attention. You guys kind of got to be on your own for a while to figure out the different feelings and sensations, I guess, correct?
Yeah, we weren't allowed to take any painkillers or anything that would alter what we were going to rate it, which sucked for some of them real bad. And like I was boozing pretty heavily afterwards, especially like, yeah, so.
I don't blame you.
A few hours, like, oh man, Jesus, like the lionfish, my hand, it was like, all right, 6 hours is enough, man. I'm cracking some beers. And the pain just disappeared.
Well, it tends to do that. Talk about the lionfish, because you guys are also doing a lot of aquatic animals as well. And they're some of the most poisonous. Before you get to that, are there some that you just know, okay, we can't get bit by, you know, is it a blue octopus or whatever it is? We can't get bit by these animals because they'll kill us for sure, like a black widow or whatever it may be. Stay away from those ones, right?
It was a weird fine line. It's like Goldilocks. You got to find like the one that's just right that causes pain without killing you or causing permanent damage. And like there's kind of like spillover on either side to where like, oh, this is the average, say, lionfish, but maybe you'll get a sting that's not bad. Or maybe you'll get like the lionfish barb goes into a nerve or punctures an artery because those are really long defensive spines they have. Or the venom is just too potent.
Right.
It was really actually hard to find appropriate animals that either aren't going to be boring or not going to kill.
Right.
Yeah.
We found a blue ringed octopus as well in Indonesia. And that,
did you really?
If we got bit by that, we wouldn't have made it off the beach alive.
Well, that's the most venomous animal in the world, right? Or one of the most.
Yeah. Arguably the most toxically venomous for sure. And like you're just paralyzed. You stop breathing. Done. Yeah. Done. And there's nothing you can do.
The lionfish was interesting because you basically just kind of like hit your hand on it as hard as you could, which then kind of punctured your, that would have been even hard as well. Like I don't think I'd have enough, like, you know, you had to really slam your hand down on that to get the full effect.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head there. Normally the animal comes and bites you.
Yeah.
The animal stings you and you really don't have to do anything, but just take it. This is a certain amount of, I feel like Adam did better. I feel like Adam's a little better on this one.
Yeah, because it goes against everything that's natural to you. You know, if Rob's getting me stung, that's him. He's doing it. But when you physically have to do it yourself using your own strength but I did get a good sting because I was watching what Rob was doing and sort of learned from that. But mine, the bloody barb went right the way in. And when I pulled my hand out, I'm like, oh, the fish is bleeding. I'm like, because, you know, a good portion of its spine had blood. And I'm like, oh, shit, no, that's my blood. Like,
right.
It went deep. And then my hand started doing weird stuff. But that's when the beers came into use. But, oh, yeah, and remember when they had to go rescue that paraglider that was up on the hill as well?
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and while we're getting stung by the lionfish, some guy in one of those, like, it's one of those fan plane things.
Like an ultralight or something, yeah.
Yeah, just like crashes into the side of the mountain. So they're like getting Jason, the medics, up there and stuff like that.
Literally mid-sting too.
Yeah, mid-sting. Yeah. And we had to, because we were quite, you know, a fair walk on the beach, we had helicopters on standby in case we got a really bad reaction. They got helicopters that will come and take us off the beach because there's no way they could have walked us off that beach. Mm-mm. Like if something bad happens, so
yeah, we had a police escort to the hospital in Bali. Oh man, the hospital. Okay, did you come to the hospital, Adam?
I came. Yeah, I was trying to film you on my phone because they weren't allowing cameras in. Then they were like getting angry at me and yelling at me.
I think we all tried to film on our cameras secretly. Yeah. So after the python bite, I had a huge hematoma, which is just like a giant pool of blood in my arm. I mean, it looked like I had two elbows, and. Dr. Benabo, who's a curly-headed medic, you'll see with that always that grin on his face. He doesn't do anything. He just sits there and he's like, "Don't bother me until you're dying." It's so funny. like he's so confident in what he does that he's like, "Yeah, you'll
be
all right."
He goes and he goes, "Don't piss me off because I'll kill you, bring you back to life, and then kill you again."
Yeah, he was hilarious, man. I love that guy.
Oh, he's so good. he tried to deal with the doctors in the hot. They wanted to give me antivenin. For a non-venomous, you know, python, and he's real slow. I don't want to, you know, give him antivenin. We just want to cut him open and relieve the pressure that this blood that's pulling up is doing. And they're like, "Well, we can't cut him open because of the venom." And he's like, "There's no venom." And he's like, "We're just taking you home." He actually gave me some Oxycontin and a shot of whiskey, and then put me up in a hotel room and squeezed this thing in the hotel while I bit the pillow, basically.
I didn't know there was oxy being passed around, man.
Jeez Louise.
It was only for after we raided it, and I was in a mess for a couple of days. That flight home was long.
Let's talk a little bit about the ants, because that's pretty gross too. And you had a whole bunch of it: harvester ants, bullet ants, velvet ants. Kind of talk about how that, which of the worst ones of those were.
The bullet ant was nowhere near as bad as we thought it would be. Because a little funny story, we needed a baseline animal to get stung by. So we got stung by a honeybee, just so we got, you know, people can compare it to a honeybee. So that scored, what was it, like a 5 or something on the pain scale?
I think it was something low.
Like that. But it was the most painful bee we've ever been stung by, ever. It was insane. And that was the first thing, like, before we started getting the bullet ants, and we're like, shit, if this hurts this bad, what's
we're
everything
in trouble?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was just this, like, what, like this super Bolivian beast of a bee that just really hurt. So we did that, and we were like really nervous about the bullet ant, but the bullet ant wasn't as bad as we thought. I was expecting like 12 hours of just like ridiculous pain. They even had like buckets next to our beds and stuff in case we wanted to vomit and everything, but it wasn't as bad as we thought it would be. I mean, you wouldn't want to get stung again, but the worst was the harvester.
It was just enough pain to keep you up from falling asleep. It was just enough to keep you from being able to.
The annoying,
so it's more discomfort type thing. Yeah.
Good amount of discomfort. But I think if we did multiple stings, and we'll get into that with the harvester. I think if you did multiple stings of a bullet ant, I think that would be enough to put you in the hospital just from the pain.
Mm-hmm.
If you stuck, you know, and I think if we ever do a season 2, we'll probably be vomiting for sure because we'll definitely do. Yeah, we'll do the gloves. Mm-hmm. I'd rather do like a more natural, Adam, maybe.
Yeah, hand down the hole.
Yeah,
for sure.
Oh, wow.
But we did do multiple with the harvester ants, and that was crazy.
Were they the smaller ones that were just all crawling over the hand? Yeah,
the little ones. And when we first put our hands in, they weren't really stinging. And we figured you got to kind of, I'm like sort of pissing them off with the tweezers on Rob's hand. You got to like move your hand around on them. And then when one starts stinging, the pheromones get them all going. So then they all start stinging. But that was insane. And we had to do that twice because we did it again when we were in California for Barstool's Outdoors. Like, oh, you know, we'll do a segment. And that one was even worse than the one we did in Mexico. Yeah.
I would say after the snake and the centipede, the California harvester ants were the most painful. It was 8 hours unrelenting.
Really?
Horrible. Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. And Ben, the guy from Barstool Outdoors, he had a real bad reaction as well, didn't he? You started getting lymph node pain, and so did he. Yeah. So that one sucked. But with the velvet ant, that's not actually an ant. That's a wingless wasp, but it looks like an adorable ant. Rob's been stung by one in the US. Oh, no. You got stung on the neck or something, didn't you?
I got stung on the neck, and that was the fourth one I've been stung by, and is by far the worst. And here's another thing. I got stung twice at the same property in South Africa because we filmed in South Africa at a place I used to live for a few months. And I got stung on the neck by I'm guessing the same species. It looks exactly the same. And the second one that Adam and I got stung by was way worse. So there's probably some variation from animal to animal.
Well, didn't he say there's something like 600 species or something of them or something ridiculous?
Something crazy. Even Justin Schmidt couldn't ID it. He said there's one guy at one university that can look at like the spurs on the legs.
And know the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because I wasn't expecting much from it. Because Rob was like, oh, they're not that bad. They hurt, but they're not that bad. But when this thing stung me, I was like, are you serious? Like, what the hell, man? Yeah. And it was, that was the most surprise because the thing's tiny, like this tiny little thing. And I was like, was it the one where you picked up my machete and threw it? Was it that one?
I think that was it.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't I thought you were overreacting because I've been stung like three before and then I got hit. And I was like, I was just mad that I didn't have the adrenaline built up like you normally have because I took it for granted. Yeah.
Let's talk about a couple more. The one was really interesting was the rove beetle.
Oh, yeah.
And explain kind of the whole concept of what happened there.
Well, this was not Adam and I's idea. It was one of the producers. He's like, there's this tiny little beetle that causes blisters. And we were like, that's just boring. And what was it? A few weeks later, our skin's melting off.
Yeah. And it turned, because it's so different. It's not a bite or a sting. It's just like a secretion of hemolymph, which is the bug's blood. And we were like, and we had to shave each other's legs as well. So that added to the, the pain of it all.
That's right. Yeah.
I had to shear a caveman.
And we had to do it sober.
And what basically happens is surprising.
Is when you smash the bug, per se, all of its blood gets all over your skin and that causes the reaction, right?
Right. Yeah. And well, we were interviewing locals that had, let's say it's just crawling on you. Your first reaction is to swat it.
Right.
And when you swat it, that's when the blood gets on you, the hemolymph. But they can also secrete it as they walk along as well. So people will have like trails of scar down their arm from where it's just been sort of walking on their arm. Yeah. And then there was this woman, that local woman that we're interviewing, she lifts up her skirt and there's like a grapefruit sized bit of flesh missing from like her thigh. You remember that temple? Yeah. That was insane.
And people don't know it's on them. So they rub it, they spread it. Or they have what they call kissing lesions where two parts of your body touch and then now both parts have it and it'll sit in your skin for days. You'll never know. They get in their eyes a lot even. People are temporarily blind from it, yeah.
So what happened to you guys with it?
Well, Rob got it way worse than me. I, at first, because so we, crush it up, put it on our legs and then wrap up the bandages. Every day we were unwrapping those bandages, it was just getting worse and worse. Like, it started off a little red patch, then the blisters, and then it turned out like just boils and like pustules all over. Like, mine looked like just teenage acne, but Rob's looked like the moon or something, just craters and that.
The skin literally came off. Yeah, the skin came all the way off. still have a scar. And we almost made like the pot brownie mistake, you know, where you eat some pot brownies and it doesn't kick in, so you eat a little more. We about day three, we didn't have a reaction, so we almost rubbed a couple more on.
Oh my gosh.
If we had done that, I don't know what would have happened.
Yeah, that was a good call. Like, should we chuck some more on? Chuck some more.
We were close to doing it. And I think it's Dr. Abel. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then eventually just went away, or did you have to take some medicine at that point?
It just, for me, it just, the skin just completely came off, scab came on, and then I had like a little bit of a secondary reaction where that skin died a little bit, and then the next skin that came over was good. And I had a day or two, did you have this too, Adam, where my leg kind of would seize up as well?
No, I remember that when we were walking across that dry riverbed and stuff, you're like, I can't walk, like my leg's stuffed, like it almost made through to like sort of muscular sort of area, right. Didn't it?
Yeah.
But you had a lot of bad luck on that.
Like King Cobra came across right behind us. While
we were filming, and well, it was like the campfire scene, and we just see peep movement in front of us behind the cameras. I'm like, what's going on? There's a King Cobra swimming across the river towards us. Oh, yeah, nice.
They didn't tell us until afterwards.
Yeah. If they told us, we probably would have jumped in with it to try and get it, but that's probably why they didn't tell us. Oh, yeah, and the exploding rocks.
Oh,
so we're filming this campfire scene and there's a bunch of river rocks. Next minute, the rocks are overheating and exploding and like whizzing past our heads. Like
just from the sun?
Just from the campfire heating up from the fire. Oh, wow.
Gotcha.
That was super heating, just like blowing up. They're like grenades flying past. Forgot about it.
Let's talk about, to me, which was the grossest one, and it's the second on the overall pain scale, and that's the giant Asian centipede. Oh,
that was a lovely one.
how Adam feels about spiders, I feel about centipedes. You know, I'm not terrified of them, but I have no desire to get bitten by one. But you just can't do the pain index without a big freaking centipede. And, you know, would you call it a bite? It's actually modified legs that they get you with, and they inject a venom with that. And neither one of us had ever been bitten by a centipede of any type in our lives. So we had no idea what to expect. But I think both of us underestimated the amount of pain.
100%. I was on camera saying, it'll just be like a wasp sting.
Yeah. We had filming planned for the rest of the day, which is very ambitious. You know, setting aside the fact that the python hit my ulnar nerve, this was by far the worst bite for me. I think for Adam as well.
In what way, Rob?
It was the only pain that you couldn't mentally overcome. Even the python pain, you could sort of mentally be tough. This one consumed like our thoughts, our emotions. I FaceTimed my wife, and like she said, I was just like a sheet of white, you know. The doctor had to give me an IV. He was very worried about taking us to the hospital. It was the only one where there was no mind over matter. We were like literally living in pain for 12 hours. It didn't like hurt for a while and then get a little less bad. It was just 12 hours of us wondering if we could do the show anymore.
Really?
It's the only thing that made us question it.
It was like, because with venoms, it's not like it's the venom specifically causing the pain. It's like what the venom's telling your brain it's experiencing. So it's like triggering it to feel this pain, which could be like as intense as your arm on fire, you know, like literally like your arm is on fire, and your brain is like thinks it is. So then it's feeling that pain, but it felt like we'd been hit with a sledgehammer, arm set on fire. And it wasn't like a up, then peak, then sort of slowly back down. It was just up 12 hours straight, just at peak intensity. And like, yeah, that was one we'll sort of like, we don't really want to film anymore. Just like get the cameras away from us. Like we're done. Like, I don't even really care about
it. Is that the one where you guys are just crashed out on the floor?
You
guys had basically, it's the only time in the show, like you said, where you just kind of like, they had to cut the cameras off.
There was no TV drama there. That we were literally just over it.
Because I went second on that as well. And when Rob got bit, I was like, oh, he's in a lot of pain. I'm sort of going, does it hurt? Like, how much does it hurt? He's like, no, it really hurts. Like, yeah. So I was like, all right, shit. Then I got hit and I was like, oh, wow.
How long was it?
What, the centipede?
The centipede.
Oh, what, 6-7 inches maybe?
Yeah.
6 inches?
Yeah, they're big. They're not. They're half the size of some of the biggest ones. I hate to say this because I don't know if I could do it again. But I'm really interested to see how that one compared to like the Sonoran giant centipede in the States or some of the other species. It can't all be that bad, but at the same time,
you look
going first on the next one.
gladly, actually. Gladly. Yeah. See how you go.
Just get it over.
See what plane I'm in. Yeah, we'll do the giant scolopendra, which is like the as thick as a man's forearm and eats bats from the side of caves. So we'll do that one. That one'll be a laugh.
Yeah. I talked to a guy recently, lost function in his arm for 3 days after a centipede bite.
Oh, geez.
It just did not work for 3 days. So
far out.
Last few questions for you guys. So, I mean, we've talked about a lot of these creatures. Is there one that stands out for you as the worst besides the Asian centipede, which we just talked about?
Probably the worst for me would have been like visually the spider, because that was just bloody traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
But the reticulated python was bad for me because seeing the pain caveman was in was like super painful for me because it sucked seeing a mate in that much sort of pain and trauma, because it wasn't like he was upset or, you know, about the pain. It was one, if his tattoo was
right,
because it's quite symbolic to him, and also that nerve damage, he was just terrified. So that was pretty damn hard for me to see that. But like bite wise, yeah, the spider, I don't want to ever see another spider again that size.
How about you, caveman?
Well, one we didn't do, they really wanted us to do a stingray, I think in Mexico, and I'd been stung once before on accident. And I mean, Dr. Abel is very confident that he could fix any problem, but to me, it's a stingray, even a small one. It's like a serrated knife covered in bacteria and venom.
Right,
you can't control where it goes. It was the only thing that I think we turned down the whole season. Ironically, we got back from Mexico. I went down to the beach in San Diego and immediately got stung by a stingray. We should have just done it.
He messages me and he's like, "You won't believe it. I got stung by a bloody stingray." I'm like, oh, man, it wasn't even on camera. Well, it was on camera, kind of, wasn't it?
Yeah. I just hear me cussing and crawling hands and feet through the I got washed by a wave into just a literal like bed of stingrays. They all hang out in a foot of water. Yeah. And I could just feel them, and I was just using my GoPro to push them out of the way, you know, bleeding out of my left foot. And
I didn't want to do the stingray because from past experiences, Australian wildlife hosts don't fare well with stingrays. Right. So I was like, I'll sit this one out.
well, Chris, I wouldn't put Adam on the spot. You did some wrestling back in the day, right, Adam?
Oh, me? Yeah, I did. Yeah. Oh, that was great. Because that's what I was like, man, Jericho's vestry. That's so cool. Because I was obsessed with wrestling. I used to have hair like down to my belly button because I wanted to look like Kane. And like, I'd walk around with it wet and everything. Man, I loved wrestling. And AEW as well. I'm getting into that. That's awesome. Oh,
thanks, man.
I'm,
that's very cool. Yeah. Do you guys think that you'll do another season of Kings of Pain?
We want to. We definitely want to.
Yeah,
everything's been really thrown off the past year anyways with the lockdown and everything, but did they ever talk about doing more History Channel? Or
we went into like basically pre-development, and then History decided that they were going to go back to more sort of history-based shows, sort of like the traditional history-based shows.
Right.
So they were like, yeah, well, we probably won't bring Kings of Pain back because they're reformatting their entire image. So we kind of went, oh, damn, like we were super set for a second season. But we just
literally are sweat and blood into this.
Yeah, exactly.
We're very into it. And there's so many unanswered questions, like Justin Schmidt rated the Warrior Wasp at the top of his list, along with a couple other. And then we got stung by it, and it was almost imperceptible how little the paint. So we don't know what went wrong. So we kind of want to go back out. And we were even talking about, maybe because we removed the wasps from the nest that they just didn't inject. We have no idea. Even Schmidt didn't know. We were talking about just going shirtless and just knocking on the wasp nest and
just see what happens. I mean, it seems like Animal Planet or Discovery. I mean, it's wide open for a lot of different networks.
Yeah, we're really hoping. Yeah, we're really hoping someone would, another network or streaming service would pick it up, because, yeah, I mean, it got really done really well in the ratings, you know, done great, and people want to see it. You know, they want to see us get hurt. So
it's like NASCAR. People watch for the car crashes. You get the car crash every episode.
Sure, of course. Yeah, multiple times.
Yeah.
Last question for you guys. If there was a season two, what's the top of the list of what you want to get stung by?
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, what we want to get stung by is we do want to do the multiple bull dance. We do want to do the warrior wasp. We will have to do a centipede, even though I'm scared. But there's two things. There's a plant and animal, and I'll let Adam take this because it's from his country, that I don't even know if we would be able to do, but it's kind of like the ultimate. If you want to take that, Adam.
Of course, the most brutal ones are Australian, of course.
Yeah, so, of course. I know. Yeah. Jeez.
We were looking at the platypus. The males have a venomous spur on their arms, and it's a very understudied venom. Like, there's a lot of study that needs to go into it, but I mean, it can kill a dog, and a lot of people that have been stung by them say that the pain lasts for years sometimes.
Wow.
And you can't take painkillers because of the type of venom, I guess. You have to take nerve blockers just to stop the pain. But we were tossing up with that because the spur is quite big and it can rip you up something wicked. So we didn't want another injury like Rob's arm.
Yeah.
And the other one was the gimpy plant, which is like, it's like an unassuming looking plant, and you rub up on the underside of the leaves and there's hairs on them. And they also call it the suicide plant because they reckon it's that painful. People and horses have killed themselves. Wow. Like, horses would jump off a cliff because it's so painful. And they reckon that lasts for years sometimes as well, like a long time, the pain. So, I really want to do the gimpy plan. I've really wanted to do it. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know. You may have just talked me out of it.
Well, guys, like I said, much respect. This show is absolutely amazing to watch. I binge watched it all this past weekend. So, hopefully there will be more. And in the meantime, there's 8 episodes filled with Rob and Adam getting eaten and chomped and bitten by all sorts of nasty creatures. So, guys, thank you so much, man. This has been great.
Thanks for having us, man. I've been a big fan for ages. So it's just awesome sitting here chatting to you.
Well, next time I come to Perth, we'll have to hang out and have a couple drinks and not Hell get yeah. bit by things.
Yeah, well, it's Perth. Someone will try by you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, you.
Mate. Yeah.